Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. Great sales staff, your trade-in's never been worth more, and a fabulous service department. It really is one-stop vehicle shopping. Inspections, routine, diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The Sixers have acquired James Harden from the Nets for Ben Simmons. Fortunately, we have been able to look into the Sunbury Broadcasting crystal ball. This is Doc Rivers and the Sixers front office as they get close to a playoff exit because of Harden.
Is there anyone there?
Yes, what do you see?
Iceberg, right ahead!
Thank you.
Just, it's just, you know.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I'm just telling you. Hey, Doc sounds a little panicked.
Come on, Doc! Oh, no, but...
I mean, that ice, I tell you right now, the iceberg kind of looks like Giannis Antetokounmpo. rather imposing.
Shut up, let the head burst! Shut up!
At this point, I believe at this point, Joel Embiid's trying to find a lifeboat. Now they're going to back up, hoping to give Harden back. Here we go.
Come on. Get that engine going. Come on.
This is really dramatic. I mean, I'll tell you right now, this is stuff that Woj would not do. Okay? Hey. I'll tell you.
Why they turning?
I don't know why they're not turning. We got James Harden. He's got the ball. He won't turn. But Embiid's open. He's to the left of the iceberg. Doggone, Harden won't give up the ball. I mean, listen to Doc. He sounds desperate. Hey. Get rid of the ball. Yes, yes. Harden's going to give up the ball.
He's going to the head.
And the playoff exit's over.
Jesus Christ!
Meanwhile, Doc looks over at Daryl Morey and he says, smell ice, can you?
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul stuff!
Well, Harden will draw a lot of those. Okay, you will see a lot of free throws. Harden is very good at drawing them and getting to the line. You enjoyed that segment, didn't you?
I kind of did, actually.
Courtesy of the movie 1997 Titanic, James Cameron, executive producer. All right. Our play-by-play call of the day.
Three-point game still. Houston's got a chance for the tie. Edwards, he is fouled. Is it in the act of shooting for the three? Let's see. The officials have to confer. Kyler Edwards was attempting to go up. He was fouled. If it is, it's three free throws. It is! Initially, they're thinking it's on the floor, but now they're going to say three shots. Kyler Edwards. Oh! 5 for 8 from the free throw line now for Edwards.
rim off to the side. See if White can sneak around in there. And he left early. He hit the rim that time, but he left early.
He'd have the ball underneath their own basket here.
He's going to make multiple cuts here.
It's touched on the run and a whistle. The ball is knocked out of bounds. Let's see. There should be time remaining. Or that. That's it. SMU has done it. 85-83, knocking off Houston for their first conference loss of the season. And only the third overall this year. 2-point win for the Mustangs, and they've won 14 straight at home.
Great win for SMU. Oh, SMU. See, Dick Girardi and I would have handled it differently. I would have said, Dick, Houston is, and he's gone. All right, there we go. Now we're going to get to the part where Matt the Greek is going to sit there and he's going to listen. Because we're going to do a segment on gambling.
What a day.
Well, yeah, the King's going to be out a little bit later.
That's just the icing on the cake right there.
We had Ross Tucker today. They made a trade where they took really a guy that Dever's going to play for you and at least got somebody who will play for you, albeit it won't be as smooth as you think. Well, I'd say this. Daryl Morey loves James Harden. You gotta give him credit. He loves that guy. But now we're going to get to the gambling part. Because in the final segment, it's going to be a lot on prop bets. And you know how much I deeply care about that segment.
Yes, I do.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate me on that segment?
A 0.
Very fair. Very, very fair. All right. So let's get Brandon Lang, of course, immortalized in the movie. Matthew McConaughey played him. I know Matt in his, he's already requested Matthew McConaughey to play him in the Matt Cotrillo story. Which is great. I believe Lisa's going to be portrayed by, I believe, by Jennifer Garner, I believe. The suit is going to be played by Curly Howard from the Three Stooges. So what? No? Did I get that wrong? Here's Brandon Lang. Brandon, welcome.
That's mighty nice of you to say that. I appreciate that. I mean, I feel pretty good for about to turn 59 years old and been in the gym for the last year, and I look pretty darn good.
Hey,
now.
Good. I give you a go. I love it, you know?
You know, Matt's always going to look better than me. But, you know, it's helped me meet quite a few girls when I can walk into a bar and say, here, look at the picture of me and Matt, and kind of take it from there. So good stuff, good stuff.
See, you're playing it right. Well done with the cards. You're doing well with that. Before I get to the game itself and betting, I do have to ask you, what was it like having yourself portrayed on film? What was that experience like, and to see it then play out in front of you like that?
Pretty crazy. I was a little pissed off at the beginning of the movie when the kid is shooting the basket with the dad drinking the beer.
Yeah.
And Hollywood casted a kid that couldn't shoot a basketball.
Not
the,
good.
The kid looked like he couldn't play dead in a Western.
Right.
Can you at least get a kid that can shoot the basketball and put a net on the rim? I'd have been a little more happy with that. But listen, at the end of the day, if you go to Hollywood with an idea for a movie and you take a job at a golf course as a caddy to network that movie, and then to land Matthew McConaughey, it's just it's crazy. And Matt did a tremendous job. I have no disappointment at all in how he portrayed me and the pressure of the business.
All right. So now one more question on that: the really good actors will do extensive research on either the character, the subject, or both. Is that what Matthew McConaughey gave you?
Yes and no. Dan did such a great job in the script. For 5 months, I would go to Dan's office and I would lay down on his couch and he would press record and then I would just talk for hours.
Right.
So he was able to then take that and write. If you watch the movie and listen to the dialogue of the movie, the dialogue is tremendous. It really is. And
Dan
just did a great job of capturing basically what the essence of what I was, who I was, and the pressure of the business. He just did a wonderful job of hammering that home. And I watch the movie now, and I don't so much listen to the acting, but I listen to the dialogue. The Gambler's Anonymous scene. The dialogue in the Gambler's Anonymous scene by Pacino.
Yeah.
Is legitimately unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's some of the best dialogue you'll ever see. It's pretty darn impressive.
What makes it impressive is that is how it is. That's what makes it impressive. The reality of it.
Yeah. It's we're all lemons, you know. You don't feel as alive when they're, you know, putting the chips down, but when they're raking them away. I mean, that just, I laugh that scene all the time. It's just so, so tremendous. So it's been 17 years. Got to put my mom on the red carpet in Hollywood.
Perfect.
Enjoy that moment with her.
Perfect.
And to be on the red carpet and see her son on the red carpet and put her in Hollywood, that was, you know, when your mother hugs you on the red carpet and says to you, "You've made all my dreams come true." What does a son do after that? What does a son? There's nothing you can do when you get that kind of praise from your mom.
What an incredible moment! You feel like every day of your life paid off in that moment for her. That's awesome.
Yep, absolutely.
What got you into this? I mean, we all make decisions. We all make decisions as to the profession we go into. So, what was it about this? What was the lure? What has made it work for you?
I did parlay cards in high school and then parlay cards in the Navy. And then when I got out of the Navy, my mom moved to Vegas in 1982. And I got out of the Navy and moved there in 87. And I just was hanging out at the Stardust and was a cast of characters that would hang out of the back of the Stardust. And everybody always asked somebody, "Who are you like? You got one for me?" But I kind of just gave a guy a game. And then the next day I'd be there and the same guy came up and said, "You got one for me?" And I think over a 3-week period, I went like, I don't know, 17-3. so more guys are coming up and asking for my opinion, and more guys are coming up, and then I got my job at the Nevada Sports Schedule, which Jim Feist was running, and then
I remember Jim.
I took over some 900 numbers there, and started doing some 900 numbers for him, and then the Gary Austin Hotline was gonna be disconnected at the end of the month, and I took it over for a month, and I did what's called a cross plug where, if you called Chip Trimbus and Larry Ness and Jim Feist 900 number before you got to their picks, I said, "Listen, go over to Gary Austin for his game of the year." Well, that game of the year went like 15-4 the last 19 days. Mm. What happened was everybody stopped calling Chip, Jim, and Larry, and they're all calling Gary.
Right.
So when Feist looked at the numbers at the end of the month, he's like, "How'd this number get all the money?" And I'm like, "Well, I went like 15-4 in the number, Jim, and then whatever." And then that's when the Pacino character heard about me and brought me to New York, and the rest is history.
All right, so let's take a game like this weekend. All right, so Cincinnati and the Rams. All right. You want to make sure that, you know, when you're talking to somebody, you're giving them the best shot on whatever, so they understand.
Yep.
So they understand what the deal is. What kind of research do you do to make that happen?
So I'm known for the Super Bowl. I've been in this business for 31 years.
That's right.
I'm 25-4.
Yep.
There's been two ties. The Patriots and Packers, mm-hmm. 35-21, line was 14.
Yep.
Tennessee Rams, line was 7-23-16. Other than that, I'm 25-4. Going into last year's Super Bowl, I had reeled off 6 in a row.
Yeah.
And I got fooled by thinking Andy Reid would know his offensive line is weak, be more creative in moving the pocket and creating space for Mahomes to throw. That whether he was distracted by his son and the off-ramp and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. he did none of that. He just said, "I think my offensive line's going to be okay." Well, guess what, Andy? They weren't. And they were completely overpowered by the Tampa Bay defensive front. Didn't matter if you had 5 Tyreek Hills across the board.
All right.
Mahomes had no time to throw, and it didn't matter.
They couldn't handle JPP or Shaq Barrett. Yeah, simple as that.
So now, go back to the Carolina-Denver Super Bowl.
Yep.
Go back to the both Super Bowl Giants wins over the Patriots.
Yep.
all those three games that I just gave you was a defensive front that controlled the game
right.
and controlled the victory. Now, if both Giants wins over the Patriots, if Denver's win over Carolina, if those D-line dominance on a scale of 1 to 10 were a 7, what you're going to see on Sunday is a 12. You have the number one defensive line in the NFL that gets pressure in 2.8 seconds. That means Burrow has got to drop back, dissect, and get it out, or he's going to get sacked. You have the second worst offensive line in the NFL trying to block this guy. So everybody's like, well, they did well against Tennessee, and he figured out a way to beat Tennessee when he sacked 9 times. No. Let's make sure we're clear here.
Right.
The Cincinnati Bengals did not beat the Tennessee Titans. I know you want to say they beat him. They didn't.
Well,
Ryan Tannehill lost to the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's right.
There's no other way to say it. Now, Kansas City. Listen, I don't know what happened in that locker room at halftime. I don't know. I've got reports here at Radio Row that Eric Bieniemy and Mahomes went at it, and Andy Reid had to separate them. And then Eric Bieniemy got mad at Andy Reid because he wanted to kick the field goal with 5 seconds to go, and Andy Reid said, no, let's give him one more play. And that whole energy of that flare-up carried right over into the second half where they just weren't the same team. I never thought the Chiefs were a great team to begin with. Their winning streak in the middle of the year was against all losing teams.
That's true.
So I didn't think they – so what happened is the team that should be here in the Super Bowl is the Buffalo Bills, and that's a crying shame. Because if Cincinnati would have had to go to Buffalo, Buffalo would have blew the doors off.
Yeah.
Well, but instead we got Cincinnati. They're here, and now we're handicapping the Bengals versus the Rams. And in my opinion, last year I made the mistake of thinking the KC offensive line could hold up, and I got my butt handed to me.
No.
I'm not going to make that same mistake twice.
It's interesting that you bring this up because Zach could verify this. I've said this all week. I said I'll look at units, and I don't mean offensive unit, defensive unit. And I'm talking about units. And the best unit on the field, in my opinion, as I've said all week, is the Rams defensive front. And the worst unit on the field for both teams is the Bengals offensive front.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've said that all week, Brandon. All week I've said that.
Very rarely in a Super Bowl do you get the absolute strength of one team goes into the absolute weakness of the other. And when you have that big a mismatch, the line don't matter. Let's talk about the line for a minute. There's been 55 Super Bowls.
Yep.
The straight-up winner is 44-11 against the spread.
Right.
So there's a very good chance that the team that wins this game is going to cover the number. And so in my opinion, you lose with the Rams before you try to win with Cincinnati. It's been a great run. Joe Burrow's for president, governor, you name it. The whole world's in love with you. Everybody wants to marry Joe. Even guys want to marry Joe. Good for you, Joe. I get it. You've had a great run. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, I'm not going to make the same mistake. I double Aaron Donald. Von Miller's going to have a massive game. Boy, you know, Lloyd's going to have a massive game. You know, Gaines is going to have a massive game. I don't think people realize. And I've had people say, well, they weren't very good against the Niners. The Niners have a top three offensive line.
The Niners' offensive line is terrific.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. So, you know what this game's going to be a lot like? It's going to be like the first playoff game for the Rams, Arizona games.
Yeah,
where they just overwhelmed Kyler Murray.
I agree. Yeah. That was like watching Hawaii 5-0 standing on the beach as the tidal wave came at you.
Yeah,
I mean that's how I looked at it. Look, I mean, do you delve into any prop stuff at all, or do you just like to stick with the game? So what's your best props?
Matthew Stafford over 5.5 rush yards. That's one scramble.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah. Good enough for one.
I like Rams sacks 3.5. Love the over.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm with you. Absolutely.
Total
over.
Sacks for the game 5.5. Going to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one I like is first score of the game, field goal plus 130.
Yeah. By the way, sacks, the 5.5 number, that might be the Rams number.
I agree.
All right, before we even get to Cincinnati. Before we even get to Cincinnati.
Yeah. Agree.
Fun conversation.
Thank you.
Fascinating topic. Just very quickly, I know, you know Vegas has always had action. You've always had action. You've done this for a long period of time. When they opened up, when the New Jersey case was won, did that change the dynamics for you at all in any way?
Oh, absolutely. It boosted my business 80%.
Wow.
Couldn't have been more happy. So I just boosted boosts my business 80%. You know? St. Martin Luther King said it best. Free at last, free at last. Lord God Almighty, we free at last.
30 states and District of Columbia now have it.
Absolutely.
Right, so there you go. I hope this is not the last time we have you on the show, because I thought this was an awesome segment. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
I'll come on whenever you want me.
Thanks so much, Brandon.
Okay, brother.
Brandon Lang joining us from Radio Row at the Convention Center in Los Angeles. Matt, who normally zones out during most segments I do, was absolutely attentive during all of that.
Got to get the kids to college somehow. Got to start the game plan.
To get your kids to college.
Oh, yeah. Luke knows a lot. Actually, Luke knows all of his letters already.
Really?
He does. He's doing really well. Shocked me.
Well, no, I was the other day, I saw him and I said, what are your three favorite letters? What are Daddy's least favorite letters? I said, what are Daddy's least favorite letters? And he took out an I and an R and an S. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And then I looked over at little Luke, and I said, are there any other letters that make Daddy sweat? And he said, well, Uncle Steve, F, B, I. Like, this kid's a whiz. He's something else. All right. I said, anything else? And he put out a C, I, and an A. Like, I'm thinking, wow. That's got quite a background. He worries about a lot, doesn't he?
I guess so.
Yeah, and it's amazing how the kids pick up on it. All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. I checked. I know we're going to get the king here in a moment, but it's going to be, what, near 50 here tomorrow?
Yeah, exactly at 50 tomorrow here, at least.
I checked Minneapolis because that's where I'm flying to tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. It was like 5 for the high and below, like negative 12, right?
9 below zero.
Ah.
I'm like, what? Couldn't play Florida State, Miami, Georgia Tech, something.
Was this their plan? Have you guys come out so that they can freeze you out first, and then they'll actually reschedule this game, the home game?
We had a player years ago, Miloš Bogatić, okay, from Yugoslavia, and he says to Dick Girardi, we bring the king in here. King, come on in. You can listen to this. How you doing? You all right?
What?
There you are. There he is, the king.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So we've got this player, Miloš Bogatić, from Yugoslavia. So this is a two-pronged story. So he tells Dick Girardi and me, I am the Larry Bird of my country. Of course, Dick and I look at you like, okay.
Whatever you say.
So he was in the starting lineup that night. And you know how Dick and I play off of each other. And I said, and Miloš Bogatić, the 6'9 freshman from? And he says, French Lick, Yugoslavia. All right. Well, then we go to Minnesota. And it was, we were going to shoot around, I think it was 12 degrees. And he comes out in his uniform. In his uniform. Yeah, I didn't mean he comes out like with the uniforms underneath. He comes out in his uniform. And he looks over at Dick and me and he says, Memo to Miloš, Next time, wear long pants, Minnesota.
Like, we can't make this guy up.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I probably should write a book.
You really should, honestly.
I probably should.
That's amazing. Did nobody, like, tell him, like, dude, it's going to be cold?
All right. I can tell you in no uncertain terms that somebody who knew Milos, he'd have done the same thing whether you told him or not.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Great guy, but oh well. And how's the life of the king right now?
All right, now I'm sitting on the basement steps in Studio 7 at Enfield. So.
Oh, I've sat on those steps before. All right.
Well, they're gray now. They're totally painted. We got a rug coming in the basement. We got a
perfect.
Oh yeah, it's just perfect. I'll tell you what, Steve. So that I was telling Matt. Oh, sidebar. You know Matt's an Eagle Scout.
Yes, I do. I do, as a matter of fact, and that's one of the reasons.
I think that's unbelievably cool.
That's one of the reasons why his son Luke spelled out FBI. All right, so go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, whatever. We take one step forward and two steps back here. It's really, really, we've dumped a fortune in the place. You know, I went to plug in something like a month ago.
Yeah.
And there were no three-prong outlets. They're all two-prong outlets.
I'm that's all there are in those. Yeah, I would think the first place that they even possibly could have been would have been upstairs, right? Because
definitely upstairs in the bedroom.
Yeah,
there was one in the dining room. No ground faults, no ground. So we had to have ground faults put in the bathroom, the kitchen, two in the kitchen, and the basement by the wash machine.
Yeah, because the air conditioner
you think everything is simple, and before you know it, you're $1,500 into it. Right. You know,
the air conditioner was in the dining room. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the air conditioner was in the dining room, so you had to have a three prong there.
Yes, there was one underneath it. So,
I don't think there is now. We put one in.
I think she ran a cord to the. There was one on the middle wall. So,
okay.
Whatever.
I remember my own house.
None in the living room.
I remember my own house.
I'm telling you, you should see our bedrooms upstairs. They're white now. So,
oh, good. Perfect.
What a project. The paint paneling, I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of it because I've learned a lot, but paint and paneling, you got to prime it. You got to fill all the. Remember my room had those little round things? On the paneling, those round circles, those had to be spackled and gone. There were 600 of them. Like, you got to be kidding me, you know? But it worked, and we sanded it down, and the upstairs is completely done. Second floor.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And the eaves are all cleaned out, everything's done. But this floor, I ran into the problem with the carpet, so... I can't do the floors. I have to hire out to do the floors. Yeah. I got to pull the carpets up this weekend. We figured that'd be the last thing, pull the carpets up and just remember that little pink buffer Ma had?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I still have it, right? I found it at the shop. And I said, holy crap, all we got to do is buff the floors because there's solid wood floors under the rug.
Right.
Nada. You know, just a rookie mistake. Because the pads are stapled down that are underneath the rug. So there's staples all over the floor. And then what holds the rug down is, you know, and I knew this, that the nail plates all around all the walls are going to be pulled up.
Yep.
The hallway doesn't match that the hallway is worn. So I got to have somebody strip it right down and then redo it. $3,000 to $4,000.
Well, what we'll do is we'll take your mind off of all this. Matt has a series of prop bets that we can go through for the Super Bowl because I mean, Matt's decided to risk the entire college fund on the game.
Super Bowl commercials. they're a riot this year. Oh, my gosh.
That's good because the halftime show is going to blow, in my opinion.
No, for sure. It's ridiculous. We can't really
I have a question about that included in these prop bets.
By the way, one quick note on the side. This is for Matt. Did we have somebody in our area turn 100 today?
Here's the story that I did. We have someone turning 110 in our area. Her name's Esther Pardo of Northumberland on February 26th.
All right, Esther.
We did that story yesterday. But also, our own Mark Lawrence's papa is turning 100 on Saturday.
Yes, that's why I brought it up, that Mark's dad is going to be 100. I think that's absolutely awesome.
So a couple milestones.
Our Nana was 102.
Yes, she was. 102 when she passed away, 2009. Yeah. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back. Prop bets in a moment, as only we can do it on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, here we go. Time to let it roll. Matt has a list.
Okay, so we'll do the prop bets first, and then we'll do our game pick, MVP score, all that at the end. So let's start with the normal ones that we like to do. First, the coin toss, heads or tails, Steve.
Is there a don't care category?
No.
Tails, whatever.
Tails. King, who do you got?
Heads, for sure.
Heads.
I got inside info on it.
I'm going to go heads, too. It seems to be happening more lately. I'm going heads. Honestly, like, all the kickoff, all the coin tosses I've seen lately, I've heard more heads. Like, I normally am a tails guy, but I've heard more heads lately, but maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I think you're right. I'm going heads. There's no question about it.
All right. Now, we go to the national anthem. Yeah, it's a national anthem time over there.
Oh, good, great.
Mickey Guyton. I don't know who this is, but she's a country singer star. She's doing the national anthem, so we'll just pick how long she's going to go. King.
2 minutes, 10 seconds.
All right, Steve.
Hour 45.
There you go. You know, country singers tend to be a little bit quicker. So I'm going to go 205 with mine.
So what number is Harden going to wear with the Sixers? He can't wear 13.
No. I've been seeing 11, but I don't know if that's right.
Because I can tell you right now, Will Chamberlain, James Harden.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
they're not in the same category.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
All right, just checking.
All right, next one. I mentioned how we're all really looking forward to the halftime show of Eminem and Dr. Dre and every other rapper known to man.
Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, Snoop Dogg, him too. Yeah, all right. So
Martha Stewart.
Yeah, all of the above.
I would pay to see that. Watch her get up there and dance, but whatever.
Yeah, I think I'll still pass on that. Anyway. So, my question to you both is, how many brain cells will be lost during the halftime show? Let me start with Steve.
Well, none, because I'm not going to watch it.
King, how many brain cells are you going to lose while watching the halftime show?
One, because I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it just because. So I don't.
But just so everybody knows, I don't watch halftime. So I have not watched a halftime show at a Super Bowl in, I don't know, 25 years.
Yeah, you're a party pooper. We know that.
You miss Katy Perry? That was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
That was a good one.
I love Katy Perry.
That was a good one.
I made this sandwich that was so good.
Around on that swing. Jeez.
I made this sandwich that was so good that night. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Major eye candy. Go ahead.
Yeah. My favorite was the Who, Saints, Colts. That was my favorite.
That was great.
Who? Who?
Who? All right. I'm going with 10 because I'll probably have to check it out a little bit just to see it. You know, it's like when you if you get a root canal. I haven't done this yet, but I just go from stories I've heard. You still suck air in it in the hole to see if it still hurts. Like that's how I feel about this. Anyway,
it's awful. Yeah. I think you're right. I don't like what they're doing with all this stuff. It's just forcing it on people.
All right. So speaking of betting, our buddy Al Michaels loves talking about the point spreads and the betting into his broadcasts here and there. So how many times is he going to mention that during the broadcast on Sunday? I'm going to say 2. Steve?
3.
Okay. 6. All right. All right, now we're going to...
They're claiming $7 billion is going to be gambled this weekend on that game.
3.1 million, I think the number was.
It's also his last NBC broadcast, so he doesn't care.
Correct. Exactly right. So now we'll get to some football stuff, actual. How many pick sixes, if any, will Matt Stafford throw? King.
1.
Okay. Steve?
None.
I'm going to go with none as well. I think it's a clean game for both quarterbacks. All right, next one. This is Steve's favorite one. How many times will Aaron Donald be shown on the broadcast on Sunday, Steve?
217.
King?
Realistically, probably 15. See. Isolation, just showing them.
I'm gonna go with 7.
Seven?
Yeah.
It's Chris Collinsworth doing the game. He'll be broken down 7 times in the first 2 series.
True, but it's also his former team. So he's gonna be loving on them a lot too. So I think it might get evened out slightly.
In the last game, they didn't call his name for half the game.
No kidding, because he wasn't playing well. Okay, you gotta remember, what does he own? This is about money. What does he own? What does Chris Collinsworth
pro
own?
Pro Football Focus, yes, right.
Who's the number one player in Pro Football Focus?
It's Aaron Donald. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, right. Don't give me this 7. They'll do it 7 times in the first 2 series because they're trying to sell subscriptions.
I'll meet you at 10. Right there. We'll go with that one.
10? That's the first half.
All right,
Before the Star Spangled Banner.
No, he'll be on during that, too. In fact, Collinsworth's going to break it down with a telestrator during the national anthem.
That's as bad as PFF actually is.
I mean, and by the way, just so everybody understands, I think Collinsworth is really, really good. Please. So I think
he's great. I think him and Troy Aikman are the best. Tony Romo is a waste of time.
I think Collinsworth is really, really good. I just don't like the overkill on Aaron Donald.
I think PFF stinks.
I think Aaron Donald's outstanding. But I can't have him routinely blocked on every replay and convince me that something special's happening.
There you go. All right, so speaking of that Rams defensive line, how many sacks in the game? Everyone's talking about their D-line versus the bad Cincinnati O-line King.
I think they'll get to him 3 times.
I got 5.
I'm going 4. All right, there we go. Now, finally, for me, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. This is kind of leading into my prediction a little bit, but you have both 2 high-powered offenses. So my question is, how many punts, if any, will we see in this game, Steve?
We'll see 4 punts.
4.
4
okay.
punts, and a fifth one will be a fake by Johnny Hester.
Ooh, okay, I like it, King.
Three each. I think a lot of nerves are going to come into play, obviously. Okay. Three each.
I am going to go with five.
See, I think total? Johnny each. Hecker.
Five total.
Johnny Hecker is outstanding, and the Rams are with Fossil as a special teams coach at fakes on punts. And I think they're going to run one in this game.
Okay. I can see it.
Well, somebody had to come up with something different besides, you know, what you got.
All right. Now the moment we've all been waiting for. Game pick, MVP, final score. Steve.
Aaron Donald. No, I'm just kidding. Rams. Cooper Kupp. 31 to 24.
King.
Joe Burrow, Cincinnati, 31-24.
All right. I'm going high scoring as well. I'm going Cincinnati as well. This team reminds me of the Eagles in 17. They're going to find a way to get it done. And my MVP, as I think, is the guy that's going to catch the game-winning touchdown, Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
To me, he is
he was my second pick. Yeah.
To me, he is the X factor of this game. I think he's going to toast Jalen Ramsey all day long.
I would love that. That was Ramsey's the only douche. I can't. Whatever.
I got to give Ramsey credit. I mean, in an era where the ball's thrown a lot, he still has 17 fewer interceptions than Jack Ham.
There you go. And 30-27 since 30-27 Cincinnati.
Yeah, my only problem with picking the Bengals is they're the weakest unit on the field is the Bengals offensive line. The strongest unit's the Rams defensive line. It's just not right. That's why I'm going with the Rams.
No, a lot of people have said that. I'm going with the fact that this is the biggest game of these guys' lives. But the problem the Rams have is all the pressure's on them. They have to win. Cincinnati's like, this is cool, man. And we'll be back next year. Where the Rams are probably break up. And OBJ, whatever his name is, come on, man.